It has been my honor to support and work with President Barack Obama, a man who has brought courage and character to the presidency. President Obama's strength of character leads him to do the right thing, together, even when it isn't the easy thing.
Radio. Underground.
We have audio, no video.
We are forging a stronger future.
Radio Free Beagle.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting live from the Free Zones in the heart of the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for those escaping occupied America, rallying like-minded patriots together to stand side by side against the onslaught against our Judeo-Christian heritage and our state and federal constitutions and our culture and our very way of life. God bless all of you, thousands of listeners, all of you pledging to stand firm in the fight to preserve what so many sacrificed in order to pass down to us. I stand for all of those things that I just mentioned. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. However, the adversary has infiltrated the perimeter and is now boldly, smugly carrying out sabotage operations inside the Free Zones. We'll talk more about that and the fight that we've been engaged in this week and the fight yet to come. We need backup now. So get relocated quickly, patriots, those of you in the process, those of you just getting here, and those of you that are on your way or planning to do so, we need you. We need to shore up the numbers of patriots, already overwhelmingly conservative, but we've been infiltrated, and the liberals are just riding high on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overriding the Idaho State Constitution, and it's time for the people to plant their feet firmly and stand. So rally your congregations, your families, and your fellow patriots to join us in prayer, the most powerful weapon that we have and one for which they have no defenses or countermeasures. You've heard about the hostile, aggressive agenda of the fascist left and their attempts to silence Christians in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho over the past couple of weeks. And if you haven't, sit tight because we're going to fill you in tonight before we conclude this episode. Episode 14-42. Actually, we've seen several things going on. And we're going to be talking about those. Besides giving you a sit rep on the situation in Coeur d'Alene, we'll be giving away a Marjorie Wildcraft DVD titled Grow Your Own Garden. That'll be in segment 4. And that'll go to the winner of the drawing from last week's digital communications mode that we had a contest, made a contest out of that. We'll be doing that again tonight at the end of the show. We've got several things we're going to be covering, some of the stuff with the Ebola, the response, and some things that are hopefully open your eyes. Now, in case you missed last week's episode, shame on you, we had a little contest involving PSK31 digital mode that's sending text over the radio. But what I did was I made that into an audio file and played that at the end. And if you go over to Amron.com, type in the keyword, search word, digital, there are several tutorials that walk you through the very simple process of downloading the free software, decoding digital messages that sound like a fax machine or some squabbly, scorbly type of warbly digital screeching sound. That is actually a message. We'll be doing it tonight too, but only we'll be using the mode MT631KL. So welcome all of our new listeners. Remember, you can follow us on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And also the news, latest news and updates until we get the website up and running. You can go to RFR News at Facebook until we get the rfrnews.com up and going. Thank you so much for all of your support through prayers, letters of encouragement, suggestions, ideas, and even your financial support. It is really, really something we're grateful, very grateful for. So let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the partial collapse and the rebuilding. Book 10 is out, and I'm going to give you a little taste of that coming up in segment 4, because we had a surprise. The Amron is mentioned, Radio Free Redoubt is mentioned, and I'm kind of embarrassed about how I was mentioned, but it was very humbling. But what an honor, too, to feel worthy to be included in that last final book titled The 43 Colonels. And so I'm gonna let you listen to that. And, of course, some of you have already gotten your copy. It's out on audio as well now. And so you guys are already well into the book for that 10th and final book. So congratulations, Glenn Tate. I have a Halls in my mouth, so forgive me if it sounds like I'm talking with something in my mouth. I am. And I know that's kind of a faux pas for, you know, speaking or public speaking or being in front of a microphone at all. But I'm at the back end of this cold, finally. And I know there's a lot of that going around. But yeah, I'm feeling much better. Took my colloidal silver, got some rest, a couple nights of good rest. And so I'm doing better. And I know some of you guys are suffering out there with the head congestion stuff, but anyway, let's get into the news. Found this over at Radio Free Redoubt News, or RFR News, rather. And I think it was posted. I'm not sure where it was originally posted. I'll track that down. And we'll put that in our highlights and resources posting. But thanks, Obama, once again. The suspect in the killing of two deputies and the wounding of another one and a citizen, 4 all total, was twice deported. Oh, we don't need to secure the border, right? A man suspected of killing two deputies during a shooting rampage in Northern California had been deported twice and had a drug conviction. I don't know why we're so angry with the guy. He's probably just here trying to achieve his dreams, right? So, of course, at the cost of American citizens, murdering American citizens. Man, that situation, that was so sad watching that unfold, because the Amron Corps, of course, we're most or many are in constant contact with one another. And so, I mean, as this was breaking, it was immediately picked up by the Amron network, at least the Amron Corps, and following this all the way through. We've got the audio file all the way up to, as a matter of fact, we had a couple of Amron Corps operators recorded it all the way back to like the 20-minute mark prior to shots fired, officer down. And so it was... I've got all of that. We're going to use that for training purposes, to be able to follow information coming from multiple sources in a very fast-moving, developing situation. And so that's going to take a little bit of time, probably about a week to work on that and get that available. But just heart-wrenching and really chilling to listen to that as it unfolded. And of course, just hours before that, we were tracking this school shooting in Washington State as well. And just like an hour and a half later, another alert pops up, and there's just so much evil in the world. There's so much more going on. And I really pray for repentance in this country. This does not seem like the country is willing to choose that option at this time. So I just think that we're going to see a lot more of these evil type of acts, and it's sad. Speaking of evil acts, boy, ISIS, man, I'm wondering if we should just make that whole region just into a glass parking lot, and just, wow. But you know what? It's the consequences of this world and the way we're going. So I know people say, oh, let's just nuke them. But you know what? It's going to crawl some from somewhere else, or from within. At least until we turn back to him. I really believe that. In fact, we are having, you know, we follow this also, this event that unfolded in Canada, the lone wolf, radicalized Muslim extremist that went on a shooting rampage, killed a reservist soldier standing there guarding the tomb of the, war memorial. He was killed by a hero, shot. A bad guy was killed. A bad guy with a gun was killed by a good guy with a gun. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But see, in New York, on our own soil in the United States, had another one, a Muslim attack with a hatchet or an axe against four police officers. Three of them white, one Hispanic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's interesting because the NYPD came right out and said, yes, this was definitely a terrorist attack. He did multiple searches on the internet looking for, with using keywords, jihad against police. He was looking at a bunch of other jihad radicalized Muslim material. And New York PD said terrorist attack, lone wolf, one each against three or four officers. Two of them were injured. The officers returned fire and killed the jihadi extremist right there in the street. So good on them. But I'm really surprised that the NYPD so quickly announced it was a terrorist attack, because just the way that they think in New York, you know, that left-wing fascist mentality that's taken over, I predict that in the next week, you're going to see one of two things happen. Either they are going to change their story and say, oh, after further review, we've discovered it probably wasn't a Muslim extremist attack. It was something else. Or they are going to just keep saying it was something else until you forget about the jihadi part. And I think we saw maybe a little glimpse into that with the article that came out from the man's father said the man who attacked NYPD cops with a hatchet wanted to kill white people, his dad says. And that's from Fox News. And I think, unacceptable, not going to accept that. All right. They're trying to change the story here for people to say, after all, this was not an Islamic extremist lone wolf attack. Don't believe it. They're going to change their story. There's just too much. Go with your first answer, right? Your first instinct. And the first instinct of the NYPD, this was a terrorist attack. They're going to try to change it. Just like the guy who beheaded the woman in Oklahoma. Oh, that was treated as murder, not a terrorist attack. The Fort Hood shooting, workplace violence. This is the kind of mentality that we're dealing with. So we had a terrorist attack. No matter what they start telling you and what they repeat to you until the masses start to believe it. What else happened? You know, this is interesting, too. Out of Vancouver, Washington, the Vancouver mayor, Tim Leavitt, was scheduled to host a Clark County prayer breakfast on Friday. But he will not attend. This is already over with. Because a controversial guest. Leavitt said Wednesday that it is an important event that honors civic leaders, first responders, and service members. He said the keynote speaker, former Army Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin, brings a message of intolerance that doesn't correspond with the beliefs of Vancouver residents. Boykin served in the Army for 36 years. In interviews and writings, Boykin has said the war on terrorism is a Christian war against Satan, and that the followers of Islam are under obligation to destroy our Constitution. Well, that's just preposterous, isn't it? So this organization should be looking for a speaker who is a uniter, not a divider. Oh, someone who will compromise on it. Okay. Someone who embraces tolerance and inclusiveness, Leavitt told KGW. Best I can tell, Lieutenant General Boykin doesn't. Boykin contends that part of the problem is what he calls willful blindness in America. I would have to agree. A failure to recognize the dangers of the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm with General Boykin on this. What about you guys? The Council on American Islamic Relations calls Boykin a notorious anti-Muslim bigot. Oh, okay, well, I was wondering where they stood on this. Now it's all clear. Hey, Fox 519 has got a special presentation. He normally does about a 5 minute to 6 minute eye on the economy, exclusive to Radio Free Readout, and we appreciate everything that he does. But he gave me a call earlier today and said, could I have about 5 times as much time as I usually use? And I said, no, absolutely not. And so he says, can I have twice as much time? And I said, okay. All right. No, I'm just kidding. He said, there's some things that I want to cover, and it's the derivatives and something else, some multi-syllable economic related word. And that is not my forte. That's not my area. I know my limitations. This is an area for Fox 519. I said, yeah. He explained a little bit about what he wanted to present. And I said, you know what? Let's do it. So he's going to do that. And so I'll just turn this over to Fox 519 right now. And we'll be back on the backside of an extended special presentation, Fox 519, Eye on the Economy, with segment 2 coming right up.
Slowly and surely it creeps up on you. The financial assassin, capable of killing everything you love and currently hold so dear. But who is this assassin? Is it your local banker? Is it a black hat hacker who stole your information while you were at Target or Home Depot? No, it is the secondary derivatives market. He got your parents in 2008, and he got your uncle's home in 2011, and now in November, he is coming for you. But this time, you have a heads up. You'll be able to defend yourself. This week, aside from the news I'm bringing you about the derivatives market, we saw 25 banks fail a European EU stress test. Putin unloaded with a magazine's worth of warnings about the US and our reserve currency status. And China has launched a new world rival bank. The financial news I bring you may not always be in your face, but I am Fox 519, and I am committed to bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Sunday, October 26th, and this is a special edition of Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
Welcome back. Eye on the Economy is brought to you this week by the PrepperRecon.com store. Stop by the PrepperRecon.com supply store for a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and concealed carry tactical slings. Packs and slings are available in several tacti-cool colors and camo patterns with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. Choose from the ever-popular Moulin Labbé Come and Take It patch, the Sheepdog patch, or matching U.S. flag patches. Also check out the great selection of Molly-compatible individual first aid kits, which feature an IBD chest seal, quick clot, NPA tourniquet, an EMT shears, and tons of extras. Go to the PrepperRecon.com store and click on the store tab at the top of the homepage. And now, on to the news.
As I said, you have an assassin coming for you, and you probably didn't even know it. But now we have named him. He is called Derivative. Derivative is slippery. No one knows much about him except for the rich and powerful who use them to serve their purposes. So, my listeners, who is Derivative? He is a contract between two or more parties whose value is based upon an agreed-upon underlying financial asset, index, or security. Common underlying instruments can include, for Derivative, bonds, commodities, currencies, interest rates, market indexes, and stocks. He is a futures contract, a forward contract, an option, or a swap, or even a warrant, that are all common derivatives. As a futures contract, he is a derivative because he is simply the value that is affected by the performance of an underlying contract. Similarly, he can change shape to become a stock option. But he is a derivative because it is the value is derived from that of the underlying stock. Derivative is used for speculating and hedging purposes. Speculators seek profit from changing prices in the underlying asset, index, or security. For example, a trader may employ derivative to attempt to profit from an anticipated drop in an index stock price or by selling or, quote, going short to the related futures contract. Derivative is used as a hedge to allow risks associated with an underlying asset's price to be transferred between the parties involved in the said contract. Derivative is deadly and November 15th, he will strike again. Why am I telling you this? And how does it matter to you? I can almost guarantee that you think none of your assets are tied up and could be assassinated with derivative. Guess again. Do you have a 401k that is tied up in an asset pool that involves securities? You're a potential victim. Do you have a fund that's based in bonds? Again, you could be a victim. Do you own any stock options that will increase in value? Again, derivative can get you. No one is spared from the assassin that is known as derivative. In 2008, derivative killed the secondary market to the tune of $50 trillion. At that time, the derivatives market sat around $600 trillion. When the runoff happened, what was it that stopped the economy from collapsing? Well, the anti-hero stepped in, the Fed. They printed their way out of it and pumped and filled the hole with $15 trillion new dollars that they had created and temporarily stopped the bleeding. Then he struck again in 2011 and dropped another $30 trillion out of the secondary market. And again, the Fed stepped up, printed $8 trillion in the market, and shoved that in the hole. $23 trillion. Amazing, huh? So, did you hear about these two deaths? No, you didn't? Well, actually you did, but you saw the decline of the Dow Jones as it fell and corrected itself and tried to recover from its wounds. What we all saw was the front end that derivative wanted you to see. The drop of $50 trillion and then the drop of $30 trillion were just blips on the radar for what he's got planned now. The derivative market is well over $600 trillion again, and on November 15th, the Bank of International Settlements is going to announce their valuation rating of the quote, nominal contracts that are held in the secondary market in derivatives. From a historical perspective, everyone, this could mean huge ramifications. If the valuation isn't a positive outlook, it could quite possibly mean a bigger drop than the 2008 and 2011 drop together. Derivative could claim another financial life, and it could be yours. Your money's in your retirement, your bonds, your stocks, your security, all gone in a matter of moments. Their life could be taken by the financial assassin that is derivative. So, now that you know his name, how are you going to fight back? How will you protect yourself? Well, this is how you're going to do it. Get out of the system. Get away from the danger. Hold hard assets. I've said it before. Gold, silver, lead, and tin, and finally dirt, are the ways to do it. Separate yourself from the system, everyone. Do not allow derivative to kill your future. In other world news tonight, China and India are backing a 21-country, $100 billion Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to challenge the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank. The Memorandum of Understanding was signed with the 21 Asian countries in Beijing Friday. Australia, Indonesia, and South Korea were absent following the hidden pressures from Washington. The Development Bank was proposed a year ago by Chinese President Xi Jinping, is to offer finance for infrastructure projects in underdeveloped Asian countries. The bank would be headquartered in Beijing, and the former chairman of the China International Capital Corp Investment Bank, Jim Li Quin, is expected to take the leading role. The bank will initially be capitalized with $50 billion, most of it contributed by China. The country is also planning to increase its authorized capital expenditures to $100 billion. With that amount, the AIIB would be two-thirds the size of the $175 billion Asian Development Bank. India is going to be the second largest shareholder of the new bank, though Kuwait, Qatar, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Nepal, Oman, and all the countries of the Association of Southeast Asia, except Indonesia, are all expected to be involved. Australia, Indonesia, and South Korea did not participate in the talks following the U.S. claims about concerns to this rival Western-denominated bank of multilateral lenders. Japan, China's main rival in Asia, which dominates the Asian Development Bank, along with the United States, did not attend and had not been expected to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, this new rival bank just goes to show you that the U.S. is being backed into a corner again on the world financial front. China has cut off our legs with their gold purchases. Next, they went for the hands with the launch of the Shanghai Gold Exchange. And now they just went for our arms with the launch of this development bank. My assessment is that China will back their $50 billion and $100 billion in their contribution with gold. Then other nations who choose to invest in it will know that this new bank has true liquidity and will flock to it knowing that they could cash out their investments and get physical gold being delivered to them at any time. This could put a huge dent in our debt sales of bonds worldwide. Why would anyone buy debt if they can never cash out and get their monies back? This is a brilliant strategy by China, and it could be one of the linchpins finally in our coffin. Finally tonight, I want to take this third portion of Eye in the Economy to talk about timing. I've had an overwhelming amount of emails lately that are asking me about the timing of economic events and when I feel the economy could take a turn for the worst. Here's my answer. I just can't give you an answer. I can't put my finger on the date and the time that it will all take place because I can't see the future. Only our Heavenly Father can see that. But this is what I will tell you. There is a convergence coming very soon, and here is how I know. We have leadership in this country that is more content to lie to its own people about a destructive virus and geopolitical events. We have had electronic theft of debit and credit card information increasing exponentially. We have Europe on a path for economic depression and possibly collapse, and now the failure of 25 banks under an economic stress test possibly proved that. Russia has moved nukes to Crimea. Their increased military actions along the border are only going to spark more and more retaliation. China has more gold than anyone on the planet, is working to eliminate the dollar as the reserve currency. ISIS has crossed our borders and now has access to sarin gas. And now, finally, our financial markets are about to take a pounding in the coming months with a potential derivatives crash. I just have a major gut feeling that all these things are going to hit at the exact same time, within days of each other to be exact. Ebola will go rampant, the economy will collapse, China will back their currency in gold, Russia will launch a war to re-seize the territory of the former USSR, and finally, ISIS will decide to hit us while we are on our knees. Yes, that's a worst-case scenario, but it's possibly true. But this leads me to my advice for all of you this week, and it is disturbing. Here it is. You may have to shoot your friends. Whoa, Fox, where did that come from? Well, everyone, here's where it comes from. Glenn Tate of the 299 Days series published an article and has been reposted over and over again the past 24 hours, and it is excellent and hits this point on the head. The article talks about how people just assume that you will allow them to show up at your place when the stuff hits the fan and just take advantage of what you've prepared for. No, your friends don't get to just show up. Yes, you will need to make sure that you are interacting with the community and take care of those who need it. But if your friends are too busy being normal, spending money on frivolous things, vacations, TVs, other stuff that has nothing to do with preparing their family for the future, wish them well. Love them for who they are, but when it comes down to it and they show up and they have nothing to offer, that's a liability to your family and to your team. You cannot take that liability onto your personal balance sheet. It'll be too late. And should they attempt to take things by force, well, you'll have to make that choice to do what you can to protect yours and your family and your group. You're spot on, Glenn. If people are too busy watching football, spending money on things that don't last, and the latest iPhone to ignore the imminent signs of the approaching collapse, that's on their heads. It's a tough choice to make, everyone, but it will have to be made. I pray that you will use the wisdom you have and have to make it at that point. Well, thank you again for listening for the special edition of Eye on the Economy and for Radio Free Readout. And I in the Economy, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
In American Reset, the final chapter of the economic collapse chronicles, the ultimate contest between liberty and tyranny reaches the apex. The Bear family and their neighbors learn the true value of community as they rely on each other to survive the war and the effects of the financial meltdown. Will the collapse bring an oppressive regime that enslaves the American people, or will the patriots prevail and guide the country back to a place of freedom, peace, and prosperity? Get your copy of American Reset in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
Back with segment two at the Voice of the American Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get relocated to the five northern counties, actually mostly the northern two counties, but the northern panhandle of Idaho. They specialize in retreat and preparedness type of properties, but they deal with all kinds of properties, and they do a great job, take great care of the people that are strategically relocating to the American Redoubt. So give them a call, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, and they will hook you up. Now, continuing on with some of the news stories, before I break into, because man, I'm fired up. I mean, I was listening to Chrisanne Hall earlier and she just got my blood boiling. And so I'm going to just like ping off of that. Of course, it really wasn't that difficult because I'm already fired up this week over what's going on. And with this persecution against Christians in America. This is what kicked everything off about 240 years ago. And some of the discussions that started taking place there about how are we going to deal with this? Well, how did our founding fathers deal with religious persecution? With all of the tyranny that they confronted? No. They didn't just grab their muskets. They used every resource available to them until it was completely exhausted, till there was no other recourse. There was no way else. They prayed. They petitioned. They met. They discussed and strategized about how to defeat this tyrant, how to persuade them, how to dissuade them, how to use all of the tools in their societal and legal system and political system at the time. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do now. So we can head things off at the pass before we come to the point where we are forced to truly, I mean, tactically forced into defending our liberty and fighting for freedom again. But the noose is tightening, isn't it? But we still have a ways to go. We have many things we're still going to exhaust. And you know what? A lot of people that want to go to the musket really quick, I've found that a lot of times those guys have spent hardly any time on their knees in the Word. And that's where we need to go first. And so it's very, very serious. I know some people are very frustrated, but most everybody out there, very level-headed, strong patriot Christians, and you're in the Word and you're in prayer. So I want to continue to keep doing that. You guys, it's happening all over the place. And in Houston, you guys have been following this. We talked about this last week. Well, pastors have been responding to this lesbian mayor in Houston by sending their sermons from all over the country and their Bibles, not their personal Bibles with all their notes. I mean, sending Bibles and their sermons flooding into the Houston mayor's office. I think that is just great. Here's a great reason to move out of California. Those of you who are still wondering if maybe you can hang out for a little while longer, well, the noose is definitely tightening on you in the People's Democratic Republic. California has ordered churches to fund abortions or else what? Well, I put forward that most of them will cave and they will compromise. For those of you who won't, well, the church is going underground. It's going to have to, or you're going to have to compromise your values and your beliefs. Why? To avoid punishment of man? This is what's happening in our churches, where they are more afraid of men and the consequences of men or popularity or what they're going to say about them in the newspapers or whatever else, than God's justice. These people who are forcing their system, this global godless system, on God-fearing Christians, those people cannot protect us from his judgment. So why would we follow them? Why would we comply with them? Life's what? Because your life's going to get hard if you don't. Life's going to get real hard anyway. Because we have rejected him. I keep saying it. And I don't know if it's going to be a week, a month, a year, or 10 years, but it's coming. America is going to get punched in the gut and we're going to be dropped to our knees. And man, it just, whew, we have to be so diligent to keep up the good fight. A regulatory change in California has placed abortion in the category of basic health services. All insurance plans must cover even those churches buy. No exemptions for you. For the past 4 years, the Obama administration and its friends on the left were careful to claim that they still strongly supported religious liberty. You remember this. Remember this, pastors. Remember this, those of you in your congregations. Remember when they promised you that they never intended for this to be for you, that you would be exempt. They are liars. Look, they're pushing a godless agenda. Do you really believe anything they say? They're liars. Get that into your head. When they say this is not intended for you, that they respect your religious liberty, they're lying. They say they still strongly support religious liberty, lies, while arguing that Hobby Lobby's Green Family and Conestoga Wood Specialties, the Hahn family, and others like them, must lose. Principally, they contend religious liberty protections could not be applied to Hobby Lobby because, one, it's a for-profit corporation. Oh, right there, no religious liberty for you if you're making money. It isn't a church and thus not a true religious employer. I'm going to talk about more of this in segment three. And number three, it's wrong on the science. Plan B is a copper intrauterine device, etc., that they claim do not cause abortions. They implied, if not claimed outright, that they would surely support religious freedom in another case, but Hobby Lobby was unworthy to claim its protections. Okay. The state of California is now calling their bluff. Because the Hobby Lobby, I mean, we've got some victories going on here, right? Nope. Not in California, not in the People's Democratic Republic. And God bless those of you who have gotten out of the People's Democratic Republic here recently. And I know some of you are scrambling. Some of you are packing. Some of you are trying to sell your home or business or whatever to get relocated. And well, where are you going to go? I don't know. I'm going out of here. I'm fleeing. California Department of Managed Healthcare has ordered all insurance plans in the state to immediately begin covering elective abortion, not Plan B, not contraceptives, elective surgical dismemberment abortion. You must cover this now. And if you do not, there is no exemption for you. Even though they said they support your religious liberty, and this is not intended for religious institutions, guess what? What happens in California ends up in the rest of the country. It's just like a cancer. So, another good reason to get out of there, or at least for temporary reprieve. There is a fight coming no matter where you are. So, you're not going to be safe. You're not going to come here into the American Redoubt and just say, "Oh, good, it's so free here. Ah, kick back and put your feet up." I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to grab you by your shirt and rip you out of your chair. I'm going to get you in the fight because that's why you're here. Because this fight's coming anyway. You may as well join the rest of us. Can't have any freeloaders. Freeloaders, there's the border. Bye. See ya. That's how I feel. Oh, man, New York Times. They talked about this nurse who came back from Sierra Leone from helping children and watching children die from Ebola. She gets to the airport. Now, in case you haven't been keeping up on current events, the state of New Jersey and the state of New York, the governors just said, we're going to do a mandatory quarantine for everybody coming here. Many of us have been saying, why are we letting flights come in from those countries then? I mean, there's a lot of other countries and smart refusing flights coming from those countries because that's how Ebola is getting spread. Okay. Now, the argument to that is it would dissuade our healthcare workers from going there and helping, and healthcare workers are needed. So I got thinking about this. I thought, well, okay, that's fine. God bless them. It takes a special person to do that. And like this nurse said, she's watching children die. And she's going over there to help try to get this Ebola thing under control, risking her own life. Comes back to the United States. Okay, if you're going to let flights in, then quarantine the people and keep an eye on them. Well, that's what New Jersey and New York. Now, my idea of quarantine is obviously different than what the left wing. You can't even call them liberals. They're just so controlling and so disorganized and dysfunctional and inefficient and power hungry. It's, well, fascism. I mean, that it's, I don't know what other word to use. Excuse me. I need another Halls. Okay. She gets off the plane. This is what she says. Well, and asks, she said that she was, what? She said, the first thing I would say to Governor Christie is that I wish he would be more careful about his statements about my medical condition. She said from inside the medical tent where she had been quarantined since Friday night, so 3 days now, if he knew anything about Ebola, he would know that asymptomatic people are not infectious. But see, when she got there, she said, I also want to be treated with compassion and humanity. And don't feel like I've been treated that way. And I don't feel like I've been treated that way in the past 3 days, she said in the interview. I think this is an extreme that is really unacceptable. I feel like my basic human rights have been violated. I'm scared about how healthcare workers will be treated at airports when they declare that they've been fighting Ebola in West Africa. I'm scared that, like me, they will arrive and see a frenzy of disorganized fear and most frightening quarantine or disorganization. Fear and most frighteningly, quarantine. She explained her experiences as these people were handling her rough. One man who must have been an immigration officer because he was wearing a weapon belt that I could see protruding from his white coveralls barked questions at me as if I were a criminal. I was tired, I was hungry, and I was confused, but I tried to remain calm. Good girl. My temperature was taken using a forehead scanner and it read a temperature of 98. I was feeling physically healthy but emotionally exhausted. Okay, so as time goes by, they leave her alone for hours at a time in this room. They're not giving her any explanation. Nobody's trying to comfort her. Nobody's trying to say, thank you. God bless you for your service, for going over there and helping those people. We need to observe you for a few weeks. Here's some food. Here's some water. Here's some juice. Is there anything we can do for you? And treat them like royalty. These are our medical workers, but they come back. They're treated like criminals. She was taken in an ambulance, stuffed in a Ebola suit. I'll just call it an Ebola suit. Taken by ambulance with a multiple police car, not a caravan, escort. So anyway, she says, 8 police cars escorted me to the University Hospital in Newark. Sirens blared, lights flashed. Again, I wondered what I had done wrong. I was left alone in the room for another 3 hours. At around 7 p.m., I was told that I must go to a local hospital. I asked for the name and the address of the facility. I realized that information was only shared with me if I asked. So they're not telling her anything unless she has to pull teeth to get information. This is the scary part about the Ebola thing. And this is what I've been saying. I'm way less fearful of getting Ebola than I am the government's response. After they finally do what we've all been calling for, quarantine people, then they do it in a way that makes these people feel like they're criminals. It's just infuriating. I just read a really fascinating article that was sent to me yesterday. I sent it on to a couple of other doctors that are listeners. But this is an ER doctor. And basically what he's talking about is his fear of Ebola coming to the United States at a pandemic type of level. Like the Spanish flu in what, 1918, 1913, that killed millions of people. He's worried about that because of our systems couldn't handle it. Even the most advanced hospitals were this doctor who wrote this article. I'm going to post this in the highlights and resources posting for today's show. He said that they did a study and they're trying to find out why can't they get people from the ER to the hospital rooms, to the hospital beds. even when there's no shortage of beds, why are people sitting there in the room for hours? Because they're planning for like a mass casualty type situation. He says something like Ebola or the Spanish flu, return of that, would change everything. They hired an independent study group to find out, where's the bottleneck? Why can't, we've got beds, we've got ER full of patients, why can't we get them from point A to point B? What are we doing that's inefficient? Are the doctors going too slow? We need better computer programs? Do we need more nurses? What do we need? It all came down to the room service. It came down to the lowest paid, lowest on the totem pole workers, that it's housekeeping. Because of the process that they have to go through after a patient leaves to bring in another patient to meet all these requirements, they have to sanitize everything. They have to, there's a lot involved. Now, why am I telling you this? I'll tell you in just a second. This doctor says, if this were the case with Ebola, I have a family and I've got kids. He says, To be honest, I might just call in sick. Because we couldn't do anything for them anyway. The worst thing that we could do is bring all these people to the hospital. Isn't that something? That's from an ER doctor. He says, because our system cannot handle a pandemic. It would actually make the situation worse, bog us down. And after 2 weeks of, healthcare workers exhausting themselves and just basically burning themselves out, and then he recognizes, and the medical community recognizes, that there will be a portion of them who will die from Ebola. Has a 50% kill rate. Maybe slightly lower in the United States if we get onesie twosies. But if this kicks up into 15, 20, 30, 50, 100 cases across the country, we'll start losing about 50%. Well, so we might just call in sick. And there's more and more of this going on. And check this out. Sure enough, this came out also in the New York Post. An extraordinary number of Bellevue Hospital staffers called in sick on Friday rather than treat the city's first Ebola patient. You know, that doctor that came back and he was wandering around town for a week. He was asymptomatic. He had no symptoms. So he was not spreading it, right? Once he started getting a headache, he went in and said, hey, I need to check in. I'm not feeling good. Okay. Then you start to become symptomatic and contagious. So of those who showed up, most of them were terrified, too terrified to enter his isolation chamber, sources told the Post. The nurses on the floor are miserable with a why me attitude, scared to death and overworked because all their coworkers called out sick, one source says. The reason why I'm telling you this, there's starting to emerge a lot of home treatment type of stuff that can really help you. One of the biggest things is staying hydrated. And I don't know if you're into the homeopathic thing. You know, I've talked about colloidal silver and other antiviral type of home remedies. But I would say, be prepared to be self-reliant. This is beyond prepper stuff. This is be prepared to provide for your own care. And even in a pandemic type situation, who knows where this is going to go with Ebola. But what's interesting, though, is the governors put in a mandatory quarantine for anybody coming back. Okay. The White House presses states to reverse. The White House is trying to get the states to reverse their mandatory Ebola quarantine orders. Obama is pushing Christie and Cuomo to reverse their mandatory quarantine. Why would they do that? The Obama administration has been pushing the governors of New York and New Jersey to reverse their decision, ordering all medical workers returning from West Africa who had contact with Ebola patients to be quarantined and administrative. So he doesn't want them to be quarantined, or he doesn't want them to be mandatory. But both governors basically stood their decision by their decision, saying that the federal guidelines did not go far enough. Oh, they want to do even more. So they're, it's not enough that they're doing running around in a disorganized frenzy. Now they're saying we need to do more. What's really interesting is that Obama is not for quarantine at all. He's trying to get them to not do quarantine. Well, this is really interesting because he just put this Ebola czar in place. This Ebola czar has zero medical experience. This is an interesting article that just came out from Mad World News. America has been dying to know who this man is and what are his medical credentials. Honestly, he has none. He is a former campaign manager for Al Gore who thinks overpopulation is the number one problem facing the United States, which the population has been in decline for the past two decades. When asked in an interview what he thinks the biggest challenges we face, his response is growing global overpopulation, draining our resources. And he gets put in charge of as the Ebola czar, which it could have a detrimental effect on overpopulation. And now the same administration that put him in charge wants there not to be quarantining of people coming from those countries. You know, the World Health Organization now says there's over 10,000 people in the world that have Ebola. And they're saying that it's out of control. 10,000 people, 10,000 that have died. I got to look at that again. Isn't that amazing? So we have appointed an Ebola czar that has no medical training, no experience in the medical field, thinks your life's not worth it because we have to make room for the rest of the world. Then we have the predictions from a website that claim to use government sources, and they list all their government sources that they estimate to be a population loss of 80 to 90% by 2025. This was interesting. If anyone has a rational explanation for why the population of the U.S. is supposed to drop 78.2% from 316 million now to only 69 million people in 2025, we'd love to know the answer, this article says. If anyone knows why our military spending will drop in 10 years from $726 billion to $8 billion in 2025, please explain. Is there a reason why gross domestic product per capita will be dropping from $52,838 to $13,328? Inquiring minds surely want to know, and we deserve an answer. And they've got the data over there on Deagle.com. They say go check it out for yourself. So I'm going to do some more researching on that. Very, very interesting. I want you guys to remember to pray for Alex Barron from the Charles Carroll Society. They're patriot Catholics, just like Charles Carroll, the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence, you know, at the beginning of our country. They started up very pro-patriot, pro-American redoubt group of Catholics. And Alex Barron has a podcast over there. He does a great job with it, and it's getting increasingly popular. But he was named in some federal court papers. The whole thing stinks. It is really a matter of some tyrants that were doing something. They got called out on it, and now they're trying to make themselves to look like victims. I'm not going to go into it any more than that right now, other than he does have a posting that will be coming out tomorrow over at the Charles Carroll Society. We will post that as soon as he does. He sent it to me. I read through it. I looked at all of the information. It's very aggravating what you can see that they're doing. And so anyway, that's as far as I'm going to say about that, except just hold them up in your prayers. All right, guys, segment two at Radio Free Redoubt. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with segment three.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.com. I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo with Points to Ponder.
This is segment three. I am John Jacob Schmidt. My name is Your Name Too, Patriots. And this segment is brought to you by AMP3 Medical. That's Austere Medical Preparedness Project. They, this weekend, are just tonight wrapping up and packing up from the fall 2014 Prepper Fest Expo in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I know several of you were talking about heading that way to be part of one of Dave's suturing classes. So I'm sure that was a blessing for you. And you guys can learn more about the medical and specialty gear that they have for prepared citizens by going to their website, AMP3. And also, you can get there by clicking on the banner. That will take you right on through. Okay, there's a situation going on in not just Houston. This came to the American Redoubt. And we know that a fight is not coming. It is here. In Houston, we saw this with the lesbian mayor in Houston demanding and subpoenaing the sermon notes under their, what is it, anti-discrimination, anti-hate, whatever they want to call it, however they want to manipulate the and silence the Christians, to get their sermon notes sent in. Well, Idaho passed a constitutional amendment. The majority of the conservative Christian patriots in Idaho said, we want the definition of marriage to between a man and a woman to be part of our Constitution. And as you know, a couple of weeks ago, some judge from outside, from another culture, from a subculture, decided to overrule the people and said, you will accept this no matter what. Now, our leadership had a choice to make. This is why I was pushing so hard for Russ Fulcher in the governor primary races, because he's a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot who would have been best suited as governor. But we have the governor, Butch Otter, and his attorney general. Both of them caved. They talked pro-family. They talked Idaho right. They talked about conservative American family values. But when the judge made that ruling, they turned around to all of their county clerks and said, okay, this is the way it's going to be. You will issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. There was no resistance whatsoever. They completely bent over and complied. There was a place called, or there is a place called the Hitching Post. It is a wedding ceremony business ran by a pastor and his wife. Actually, they're both ordained ministers. they got a call from a homosexual couple, apparently, or one of the parties, inquiring about doing a homosexual wedding. And they said, we don't do that. And they immediately called up the city and said, what's going on with your city ordinance? Where do we stand? And they were told by the city attorney, by the city prosecutor or the prosecutor, saying, your business is not exempt because you are not a religious, not-for-profit corporation. And they are an LLC. So they turned right around, got a hold of the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. They do pro bono Christian defense type of cases, fighting for religious liberty all across the country. They're based out of Arizona. They immediately filed a lawsuit against the city. The city, this has been an ongoing left-wing information campaign with the help of the Coeur d'Alene press out of Coeur d'Alene, trying to minimize the case. And though the city, as soon as this happened, the whole country just blew up. I mean, they were getting overwhelmed with 25,000 emails. Excuse me, I had to grab another Halls. By infuriated Christians across Idaho, across the American Redoubt, and beyond, in all across the United States. Overwhelming support. Well, they really started to look like jerks. They started to look like the jerks they are. So they said, oh, wait, no, we don't have a beef with these guys. Just kidding. They're pastors. We never intended to... Actually, we're not going to pursue them. Actually, the first argument was, hey, whoa, what's the big deal? We've had no complaints. We've had no complaints from citizens about them violating the ordinance. So we're not going after them because we haven't had any complaints. And so the whole thing was, we're not going after them because we haven't had any complaints. We're not going to go after them because we're going to force someone to violate their, you know, religious beliefs. It's only because we haven't had any complaints. And then it turned out, well, then something else came out. Well, because they took steps to change from a, you know, for-profit corporation, you know, they would be exempt. This whole thing was just so confusing. I wrote several articles. I don't want to go into all of that. I posted several articles over there on the website on radiofreeredoubt.com. So go and check that out. But they kept hammering the same lines. No one has ever been cited for violating the anti-discrimination ordinance. The city attorney, Mike Gridley, told the press Wednesday that he's unaware of any discrimination complaints being filed in the city since the ordinance banning discrimination based on sexual orientation was adopted June of 2013. They kept repeating this over and over. But see, what happened was this week, I don't have it right in front of me. I've got it in the notes. I've got it in the other notes. A lesbian calls up the Hitching Post from Massachusetts. These people are militants. They're looking for a fight. They're looking to force you to accept their way of life. She calls from Massachusetts. Oh, I want to know about getting a homosexual marriage. We don't do that. What? She freaks out. Right? She actually calls twice. The second time, she's ripping on this lady, the pastor's wife, calling her names, just went on this vitriolic, according to this woman's report, going off on this lady for all of their hate. You talking about the hate? I can imagine her eyes were probably red, and bloodshot, and bulging out, and oh man, just tearing this lady up. And then went to the city, wanted to file a complaint from Massachusetts. Stay in Massachusetts. If you want your lifestyle, there are places for you. You can go to California. You can go to Massachusetts. Why force your views? Because the whole argument against Christians from your side is that who are we to force our views on them? We're not trying to force our views on them. They're trying to force their views on us. But see, that's the twistedness of these kind of people. So the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations writes this article because the city is trying to figure out how to get out of this because they look like jerks, right? I mean, prosecuting a pastor for not doing a gay marriage. I mean, I'm sorry, a homosexual marriage. So the American people, even as apathetic as they are, aren't ready for that, right? They picked the wrong victims. They needed these people are wringing their hands. They're drooling over the thought of nailing some wedding photographer, Christian-owned business, to the wall for refusing to do this. This fight's coming. Or a cake baker, someone like that, right? But this is what they say. How do we get out of this? Well, they're 2 weeks ago, they filed as a religious corporation. So now they are exempt. So we have no beef with them. Well, when one of the pastors that I spoke with, who's been working with this couple, he directly, as soon as that came out, that they had switched to a nonprofit religious corporation, he asked them directly, is this true? And they went, no, we did no such thing. We're a for-profit. We're an LLC. Well, this is what it's saying right here. These guys are saying that you went, now they're backing out because they were going to lose this case. They're looking for a way out. So how to get us out of this? Get us out of this is what they're screaming, right, to the lawyers. So the lawyers are like, well, they're telling the press these guys filed for a nonprofit, a religious corporation. So, yeah, so our issue isn't with them. Meanwhile, the Knapps is their last name, Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. They're saying, we did no such thing. So the community's like, okay, we're not letting these guys get away, right? They're trying to get away. They came in to attack. It's kind of like when the bully, he swings on you and you grab him by the shirt and you punch him, right? And then he realizes he bit off more than he can chew and he tries to get away from you. You do not let him get away. You start working him over, right? Otherwise, he's coming back. So they're like, no, we're going to work you over. City's trying to backpedal out of it. Okay, so the Human Rights Council or Human Rights Group, whatever they are, the pro-homosexual advocacy group, they brought in the ACLU. They brought in all these so-called constitutional experts. And really, they're experts at weaseling their way around and twisting the language of the Constitution to fit their agenda. That's what they're experts at. Manipulating our document, which I'm going to read to you in just a minute. They said, when they are performing religious activity like marrying people, ministers have the right to choose which marriage they will solemnize. Also, as long as they're performing a religious activity, then they have the right to choose, right? That's why this is their letter to the city. After all, their constitutional experts looked at this case. That's why we don't think the public accommodation law applies to ministers making choices about performing marriages. So if the only service afforded is a religious wedding ceremony performed by a minister, then the law would not apply. But that reasonable exception doesn't change the general rule that businesses that open their doors to the public to provide service, including services related to weddings, cannot turn people away just because of who they are. It's not who they are. It's what they do. And God clearly made it. He made it clear. It's a sin. Do not participate. Do not engage. Do not support it. Having said that, we oppose the argument that one can use one's religious beliefs to discriminate against, for example, sexual minority. I think they meant sexual immorality. In the public secular arena, in housing, businesses and employment and public accommodations. For government to allow such exceptions based on religious grounds would literally open the door to all forms of discrimination in violation of the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. Hold on. We got rid of slavery. Martin Luther King said that we should be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. But see, The content of your character, if you're living in immorality, gives us every right to choose whether or not to engage with them in business transactions or enter into contracts with them or whatever it is. But what you're saying here is that it's okay. They're lying. It is not okay with them that religious institutions can discriminate, because if this is a horrible discrimination that could lead to all kinds of other discrimination, why are you allowing the churches to do it? Well, you're only allowing them to be exempt for now. We know you're coming for them next. Make a note of that, pastors. They said, it has always been our position that the ordinance would exempt religious institutions, recognizing their First Amendment rights. Hold on. You'll recognize the First Amendment rights of a religious institution, but not the citizen? It's the citizen that the First Amendment was written for, not religious institutions. It was for every citizen. Their First Amendment rights when it comes to establishing facilities or sanctuaries where they conduct religious services, practice their faith, study and advocate their religious tenets, hire and supervise the employees, for example, at their church. You see how this is carefully worded? They're keeping your religious liberty confined inside the walls of a church, a facility. As long as you keep your religion inside the confines of your facility, we'll tolerate that for now. But outside, who's the intolerant one? This is only a temporary reprieve, pastors. You had better get your staffs and your congregations engaged in this fight. Persecution is coming, Christians. The underground church is coming. And if your pastor's not addressing this and giving some guidance and speaking the truth on this issue, if he's compromising to appease the world, you have a decision to make. You might want to consider strategically relocating to be under a pastor's leadership with a spine to get in this fight, because it's a fight for the soul of your community and your state and the soul of your children and their children. Because in case you've been doped up on football or your Harley Davidson, your video games, or whatever other self-worship you're caught up in and get engaged, we are losing our Judeo-Christian heritage and our way of life. It is at our doorstep. It is upon us. It's not coming. It's here. You had better switch your way of thinking around. You better flip the switch on inside of your brain. We are living in 1773. We are living in 1933 Germany. Are you going to sit this one out because this oppressive, illegal, unconstitutional ordinance that's coming to your town? Oh, I don't live in Coeur d'Alene. Oh, I don't live in Sandpoint. I don't live in wherever. It's coming. You think it doesn't apply to you because you have the umbrella of being on a church staff? What about those in your congregations who make their livings doing wedding photography or run a bed and breakfast or bake wedding cakes or operate catering businesses who don't have the protections you're enjoying for now? Canada is arresting, raiding, prosecuting pastors for speaking on certain non-state approved biblical topics. They all said when they first ushered that in, oh, we're not talking about the churches. You obviously have the right to speak. We're talking about, you know, the people who go to your church. We'll prosecute them. But no, it ended up going after the pastors. I heard from a pastor and I thought that I was encouraged at first, and I got thinking. This pastor announced they're forming a compact with other pastors. So if any one of them are attacked, like a little mini NATO, right, of pastors, if any one of them are attacked, the others will join and stand with them to protect the churches. Unacceptable. Will you stand and fight for your parishioners? Will you campaign to fight for them, to bail them out of jail, or to get your congregations to fight for them in any way, in every way, until you're so exhausted and depleted of resources, there's nothing left of you to give? Maybe persecution is exactly what the church needs. Maybe that's exactly what is needed. Make a stand. Make a stand for the kingdom. You are being attacked. And some people don't want to get in the fight, and I understand that.
There's some pastors that are saying to other pastors, you know, we shouldn't be involved in this. It's politics. It's not where we should be focusing on. Then maybe each of us should just do what we feel called to do. If you don't feel called to do this, then don't. But if you do, don't let someone dissuade you. This is a worthy, righteous fight. There's a winnowing right now. There's a separating of the wheat and the chaff that's taking place right now. Leaders, you know who you are. You know what you're being called to do. You can feel it in your gut. You can feel it in your spirit. You can feel it in your soul, in your heart. You're being called. Get in the fight. Those of you that are in the that are sitting under pastors, evaluate them. Confront them. Where do you stand on this, sir? I need to know. Because if you're going to be passive, that's not acceptable. And there are people that are going to leave your church pastors, strong pastors, that are cut from that same cloth as the Black Robe Regiment, where you know you must stand against the tyrant at all costs. That's where we are. That's the time that we're living in. You are not exempt. It's only temporary. At least two city council members on Coeur d'Alene City Council have said, I've heard this from multiple people that said, I was standing right there. I heard him say it. It wasn't just him. It was him too. There's two of them who've said that if they had their way, there would be no exceptions. Nobody should be able to discriminate. Well, at least they're honest. City officials report that the Coeur d'Alene Police Department received a call Thursday from a Massachusetts resident complaining that she wanted to marry another woman and have a ceremony at the hitching post in Coeur d'Alene, but was refused. They are picking a fight. They had no intentions of going to Coeur d'Alene and getting married there. They wanted a reason to file a lawsuit. The city's not going to pursue it because this is a hot potato. Let me read to you the Idaho State Constitution. This is the preamble. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessing and promote our common welfare, do establish this Constitution. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the most beautiful statement? A government's constitution starting off like this. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessings and promote our common welfare, do establish this constitution. Right there makes a pro-homosexual ordinance unconstitutional. This goes against the very premise and the tenets of the preamble. But let's go further. Section 4, guarantee of religious free liberty. The exercise and enjoyment of religious faith and worship shall forever be guaranteed. No person shall be denied any civil or political right, privilege, or capacity on account of his religious opinions, but the liberty of conscience hereby secured shall not be construed to dispense with oaths or affirmations or excuse acts of licentiousness, or justify polygamous or other pernicious practices inconsistent with morality or the peace or safety of the state. So you can't just say, well, it's my religion to, you know, cut the head off of my children because they talk back. All right. That doesn't give you license to do that kind of thing. Nor to permit any person, organization, or association directly or indirectly to aid or abet, counsel, or advise any person to commit the crime of bigamy or polygamy or any other crime. No person shall be required to attend or support any ministry or place of worship, religious sect, or denomination, or pay tithes against his consent, nor shall any preference be given by law to any religious domination or mode or of worship. Bigamy and polygamy are forever prohibited in the state, and the legislature shall provide by law for the punishment of such crime. This is coming to your town. It's time. Refuse to comply with this unconstitutional ordinance. Contact the city council. Demand in Coeur d'Alene. Call the mayor's office. We've got that listed in that posting. Their contact information, their Facebook address, and the city council. Demand that they repeal this unconstitutional ordinance. Keep hammering them with emails. Keep hammering them with phone calls. We have an information campaign that we're working on right now. There's a ton of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. We ask that you join us. Join us financially. A lot of this stuff costs money. Join us asking if you can stuff letters, stuff envelopes, make phone calls. Get in the fight. Get ready to get engaged in your community. This is tyranny. These are intolerable acts because they're backing off right now from this church. They are coming back. They're going to come back stronger. They're going to come back and they're going to try to nail an example to the wall. And it's going to be a Christian who's standing for his faith that owns a company that bakes wedding cakes. And they are going to try to run them through and ruin them. And we have to stand together as a community. All the pastors, all the churches, all of them need to come together and get in this fight and rally around their next victim and say, these are intolerable acts. We will not accept it. We're going to be working overtime. I am tired. It's been a long week. You guys don't even know the fraction of what's been going on all week. We are in the fight, fighting for liberty. There's things that I'm not going to discuss here right now because I know that they are listening. But we are fighting them on this. This is our backyard. This is our home. This is our culture. We are not going to sell out. We're going to stand by and we're going to look to the Lord for strength. We're going to ask you for prayer. We're going to attack this prayerfully, legislatively, strategically, and assertively. We didn't start this fight. We didn't bring this fight. They did. And we are going to fight. This is our home. This is the American Redoubt. And I'll tell you something else. The entire country is watching to see what we're going to do. We're the last hope. Everyone's looking to the American Redoubt, this ultra-conservative bastion, this light of freedom, what America used to be. Conservative patriots are looking to the American Redoubt because it is so... I mean, this town, Coeur d'Alene, it is seated in the reddest county, in the reddest state in the country. The fascists have openly boasted when they attacked Texas, in Houston, and in Idaho. They said, if we can succeed in Idaho, we can succeed anywhere. We must take down Idaho. We have to defeat it. The whole country's watching to see what you, Idaho citizens, are going to do. And the rest of us around the surrounding area are going to come by your side, and we are going to get in this fight. We must... All right, let's take a break. We got a DVD to give away. All right, segment 4 coming up. Stand by one. I will not comply. I will not comply. You see, we don't need you. We're better off without. Raise up your fists and everybody shout. I will not comply. I will not comply. You could only keep us down when we're 6 feet in the ground. Until then, I will not comply. I will not comply.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
I want to thank Radio Free Redoubt for being here and for broadcasting it so that the message reaches far beyond this room. But this is a cool little room. Something I've encountered quite a lot is members of the Patriot community getting burned out. Because you alienate friends, you alienate family. Most of the time it's a thankless job for most people, and it takes a lot of love to keep going. You really have to know what you're fighting for, and have a firm understanding of that. I find that in my life, you know, spending all this time away from my wife and my babies is very difficult. It's very lonely and it's very difficult, but I have to keep going. Because I'm fighting for them. Well, you know, like I said before, the bad guys don't take a day off, so neither can I.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question. Every individual, are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
We've told the stories of colonels who provided money, medical care, facilities, weapons, computer networks, economics, guerrilla fighters, intelligence, and commandos, Ben said in almost a single breath. What's missing? News we could rely on, Ben said. It was vital. It encouraged us, informed us, persuaded us, and motivated us. Ben was speaking from the heart now. I know from personal experience how uplifting it is to have reliable Patriot news. When I was hiding out on the Prosser farm after the EPU agents arrived and brought a shortwave radio, I would crave hearing Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt's voice. Even though he broadcast from the redoubt, he knew about half of listeners were outside the redoubt, in occupied territory, as he called it. If anything, the listener in occupied territory needed the information and encouragement more than those safely in the redoubt. John didn't just broadcast the news, he unearthed it. Listeners would send in tips, observations, and intelligence. They did so via delivering paper notes to a series of drop boxes, but most sent information in by ham radio via the AMRON network, which stood for the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. AMRON was the other half of Radio Free Redoubt. John created and maintained a huge network of ham operators who served as one of the Patriots' main communications networks. AMRON served three purposes. First, it got information to John. Second, it got information out via ham radios in case his main broadcasts were disrupted. Third, the local AMRON operators became the hubs for many Patriot activities in their areas.
All right, segment four at Radio Free Readout. John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com. That's how you get a hold of me. And if you're listening to a CD or something that you downloaded, MP3 version, don't forget you can visit us at RadioFreeReadout.com. This segment, segment four, and the final segment is brought to you by Katie Armor, C-A-T-I Armor. That's your AR-500 level 3 body armor, Patriot-owned business, front, back, sides, carriers, accessories, they've got it all. Go check them out over there at katiearmor.com. And don't forget to put in your coupon code John Jacob for a discount on your next purchase, and they'll take good care of you. All right. Wasn't that pretty cool? That was from 299 Days book series. And I just gave you a little little two pieces from the 43 colonels mentioned me, and mentioned Radio Free Readout and AMRON. We've got that posted. It's its own posting over on Radio Free Readout. You can listen to that, that audio file. That's chapter 13 from the last book. You guys remember the first book where this guy's getting ready to go to an awards ceremony after the war, and then all of a sudden it hurls you back into time. Well, this is takes you back to that opening scene where the award ceremony takes place. Very interesting, very humbling, and kind of embarrassing, actually. And but it's a great fictional story. I mean, this is fiction, right? It's fiction. It's a make-believe story. And but man, could that be our future? I mean, you know, something along those lines. We don't know. Anyway, it's a great series. I want to encourage you to go check that out. And I'm very honored to, that he felt that, you know, what we're doing and the work that we're doing is important enough to be mentioned in there as, you know, something like Radio Free Readout or AMRON, something along those lines, you know, would be actually a very strong contributor in the outcome of the struggle to protect America if things collapse and, you know, and it came to that. So anyway, I just want to thank Glenn Tate for sharing that audio, giving us a little sneak peek and sending that chapter over. And that was really cool. And also, I think that's on, yeah, that's on Amazon. Where was that? The audio file. The audio files are out now. The audio books are all out there. Hey, we got some CH3 Amron window decals, the hectagon shape. I'm going to have those out and posted for $3 each. They look really good. And I'm going to put a posting up there because so many of you have been asking about those. We're one step at a time. We also got some patches. They're going to be coming from Afghanistan. And these are embroidered, beautiful patches. Only two in existence right now, but we're going to have some more coming on the way. Let's see. This is a longer than normal show. Usually, you know, we say it's an hour, you know, 1 hour show, John Jacob, but we always end up going about roughly 90 minutes ish. But tonight, you know, I know we went a little bit longer. So, thank you guys for sticking it out with us. Don't forget at the end of the show, before we do the drawing, I want to remind you, to check out Delta Zero Four's Tappern Post Net Report, which will follow right after the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Okay. Now we've got a drawing. This is for a Marjorie Wildcraft DVD. This is a helmet. This is a steel pot from an Iraqi. I won't tell you how I got it. But we've got all of our tickets in here. All right. Digging into my steel pot. Army helmet. Iraqi. Dropped at least once. Okay. All right. Pretty good turnout. Thank you so much for all of you guys who participated. This was a lot of fun. Right after the show today, we are going to be also giving away another one. Next week, we'll be giving away a leather sling from Lever Gun Leatherworks. Really high quality handcrafted leather rifle slings. We'll be giving one of those away next week. I'm going to get real creative next week and go back to a training exercise that we did a while back. I'm gonna bring that back out. Okay, let's do this. I'm tired of making you guys wait. You're tired of me making you wait. Okay, so I've got a ticket, and oh man, I hope I win. Let's see here. Oh, the winner is Kilo 16, codename Kilo 16. You are the winner. I will be in contact with you. Congratulations. You just won a DVD. So I'll get in touch with you for mailing instructions. Get that shot out to you tomorrow. And next week we'll do it again. Right after the show, we've got this coming up. I'm going to post this as its own audio file on the highlights and resources posting. I will not embed it as part of this week's podcast when I upload this, just because it's like over 5 minutes long and obnoxious to listen to. So I'll just make it its own audio file, and that will be on the highlights and resources posting for episode 14-41. Right underneath the embedded show when I upload that tonight after the post show production. So anyway, that pretty much concludes it. That's it. That's all I got. And we went long. So I'm just going to say, please continue to pray for us. Pray for the pastors. Pray for the leadership. There are several leaders that are in this fight. They need your support. All right. And if you want to fit in, not sure exactly where, infiltrators, you know, we are going to sniff you out because, well, we just have the resources to do that. And for the rest of you, God bless you and thank you for joining in the fight for freedom right here in the American Redoubt. The front lines have come to the American Redoubt. So God bless all of you, you and yours and your families and everything that you set your hand to. So until we meet again next week for episode 14-43, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.